Welcome back to Current Thoughts. Today's episode is something really personal and eye-opening. I'm sitting here with my husband, Jay, to talk about his recent experience doing a 21-day water fast. That's right, 21 days with no food, just water. Whether you're curious about fasting, want to learn about mental and physical effects, or just wondering why anybody would ever do that to themselves, this is the conversation for you. We're not promoting anything extreme or giving medical advice. This is just a real honest account of what it was like. So let's dive into it. All right. So what made you decide to do a 21-day fast?
Well, I watched a documentary called Fasting, The Healer Within on YouTube. And after doing some further research after watching that about what happens to your body during an extended fast, and all the health benefits that you get from a extended 21-day or longer fast, it really was a no-brainer. I mean, giving your body a reset, cleaning up damaged or dead cells throughout your body, cleaning up, repairing, and removing visceral fat around your vital organs. But most of all, just having the knowledge that you have the willpower and discipline to do something like this if you ever get diagnosed with cancer or some other major health issue in the future, that you have this as an option to allow your body to repair itself. That alone right there was all the reason I needed to go ahead and do this, because I know that whether I've tried to eat healthy or not, that unfortunately in our American diet, you can't control everything, and there's always stuff in your food that is bad for your body. And so I kind of wanted to repair my body from years of eating like poorly and kind of give, like I said, give myself a reset.
Okay, so have you ever done a fast before? And what was the longest fast you had done?
Yeah, I've fasted before. I've done numerous one-day fasts. I've done a couple of three-day fasts. And I think the longest one I've done was a five-day fast. But none of them compared to, obviously, a 21-day fast.
Right. So did you prepare your body before starting this fast? And if so, how?
Well, this is where I definitely could have done a lot better, for sure. I was trying to fit this fast into a time frame to where we would actually be done before your mother's annual 4th of July barbecue that she had. So I'd be done by then, so I wouldn't be fasting during the barbecue. And so we had dinner plans with some friends over at their house. And so the last meal I had was like teriyaki chicken and fried rice and like watermelon and cantaloupe, which I know that's not what you're supposed to be doing. And that's where I kind of was a little worried about starting the fast, because ideally you would have wanted to start by kind of weaning yourself off of solid foods, going to more like maybe a smoothie or something going into the fast, but where you're not eating as much. And yeah, I just didn't do that. And I would definitely probably do that over if I could do that again.
So what were your expectations going into it?
Well, after the research I did, this is where I knew I was going to lose some weight for sure. But I mainly did it because I really wanted to improve my overall health from years of eating poorly. I also wanted to kind of change how I look at food. So like me and you, we're different. Like I've always kind of envied how you kind of eat for health, or you eat because you need nutrition in your body. Whereas me, I've kind of grown up a foodie, and I've always eaten for flavor and taste, and I wanted to kind of change my mindset when it comes to food, because sometimes I would just eat out of boredom or emotions. Like if I was feeling pretty down on myself or something, then I would eat. Not because I needed to eat, but because I was just, again, bored or out of emotions. And I wanted to kind of break that cycle. But like I said, I also wanted to, I knew that this is a tool after watching that documentary that people have actually healed themselves from like cancer or other like hepatitis, other diseases that, you know, basically doctors, Western medicine has basically said is something that could never be healed. or something that you're going to have to live with for the rest of your life. And knowing that people have actually healed themselves from doing this is one of those things that I wanted to have that knowledge that I knew if I needed to, I could do it as well. And so I'd have that little arsenal in my tool bag to heal myself if I ever got diagnosed.
Okay, so what was day one like? And were you hungry, excited, anxious? I was a little anxious.
Why were you anxious?
Because now I felt like I wanted to minimize my smells in the house, that you didn't have to smell my cooking. So I tried to minimize that as far as my food intake.
Ah, okay. Day one was probably my hardest because, again, you're kind of having to break routines. And I found myself having my morning coffee, black coffee, where normally I knew I wasn't going to be able to have like any cream or any other additives into it. So I was having black coffee, but I found myself going to the fridge around breakfast time thinking, oh, open the fridge up. And I'm thinking, wait, I'm not eating anything in the fridge. So it's like breaking these routines, like just going into like the cupboard or going into the refrigerator and opening it up and just kind of like out of boredom, like, or maybe routine. So probably the first 2 to 3 days probably were the worst for me, just because, again, that's where I still had those routines built in. That's still when I had the cravings, I guess, and the smells were really, really impactful. And it was those first 2 to 3 days.
So when did your hunger start to fade, if it did at all?
After those first 3 days, I know on day four for sure, I was basically, it wasn't even a thought in my mind. I was just in a routine now where I was getting up. Maybe I was having coffee in the mornings, but even coffee was kind of getting to the point where, because I'm not used to drinking it black, it was even getting to the point where that was a little hard. Plus, it was kind of making me a little nauseous sometimes when I would drink it in the mornings. And so I kind of cut myself down to where I'd only have one cup, where normally I was having, and literally one cup, not like, normally I'd have the equivalent of like 4 cups of coffee in the mornings. And so severely cutting my intake for sure. But then I kind of just went to water after, I want to say it was after day 8 is when I stopped coffee, because I just kind of like, I was like, you know what, it's not really doing anything for me, and I'm just over drinking it, and I can't have it the way I want it, so I'm just going to cut it out and just drink water.
Were there any physical symptoms you struggled with as far as headaches or fatigue or weakness? You took a lot of naps, I know that.
I did, yeah. There was definitely, I want to say it was on either day 3 or day 4, I woke up and I pretty much woke up with a headache and had the headache all day long, and even went to sleep with a headache. And I don't know if that was just because that was my like digestive system slowing down completely, and or if it was me. I had stopped taking all my medications that I was taking. And again, these weren't medications that were prescribed. These were just like Zyrtec for allergies, vitamin D supplements. I kind of stopped taking all these vitamins and supplements that I was taking. And so it might have been, you know, not getting those.
And maybe not having the caffeine.
Well,
you cut out the caffeine as well.
But I didn't cut out the caffeine to day 8. And I had this on day 3.
Okay.
Was when I had that headache. But after that, honestly, I didn't have any other headaches throughout the fast. But yeah, come starting, like, I want to say it was starting day 9 through like day 15, I was severely just very low energy levels, very weak. I think I even remember during that stage that I kind of plateaued on my weight loss a couple of days. And I thought, well, maybe it's just because I'm sitting around not doing anything, not burning any calories. So I remember I was getting up early in the morning. So I'd wake up early and I went for a walk, you know, just a light walk here around the RV park, and probably not even a mile. And then I got up again the second day and I did the same thing. And by the end of day 2...
Of your walks.
Of my walks, yes. I was completely sore, like all over my body. It wasn't just my legs that was sore. It was my upper back where I was doing stretches in the mornings. And I mean, very low impact, but this just reiterated what I had learned in my research, was that when you're doing a water fast, you do not have the energy, and you really should not be exercising, because if you do, you're actually kind of reducing your muscle mass. And it could be detrimental to your muscle mass, as opposed to when you're just relaxing and resting and letting your body heal itself, it's actually removing a lot of the fat from your body. So that was just proof to me that even doing a little bit of a walk like that was too much for my body. And I definitely had to tone it back.
Right. And you work from home, so this wasn't an issue as far as going out and working in the workforce and having to drive and all of that. So you were working from home, so it did make it a little bit easier for you.
Yeah, I don't even know how, because again, some of those days that I was so weak, like, you know, if you had a long commute or something like that, I don't know how you'd be able to do it, because like being stuck in traffic or anything like that, or a long commute where you were actually having to be alert and stuff, I don't know if that would really be advisable.
Right, because you couldn't even keep your eyes open some days.
Yeah. And yeah, it kind of was beneficial that I was able to just work from home.
Right. So that goes in with how did your energy levels and your mental clarity change over time?
Well, like I said, I definitely, my energy was down day 9 through day 15. Day 16 is where I really started to see some drastic changes in both my energy levels and my mental clarity. I remember day 16, I was very motivated. I was very active. I had high energy levels. My mind was very clear. I was very productive that day. And continuing on, I mean, I may have had one day after that that maybe I had a little bit of a setback where it required me to take a little afternoon nap or something. But for the most part, my energy levels were nothing like they were day 9 through day 15.
Did you continue working, exercising, or meditating during the fast?
Again, working, which for me was easier because I was able to do remote installs from home. Like I mentioned, I tried to do the light exercise during the fast, and I just remember that was a big no-no. But as far as meditating, I did meditate about 15 minutes every day. And most of the times I did it in the mornings. I remember if I did it in the afternoons, especially when on those days that I was really tired, I kind of ended up falling asleep during my meditations, and that wasn't the best. So I found that for me, the best time to meditate was actually in the mornings when I was the most alert, even on those days when I was really weak.
Okay, so what was the hardest part of the 21 days?
The hardest part for me was during the 21-day fast was the first 3 days. After that, not eating was not really an issue. Lack of energy and a weird bland taste in my mouth about day 9 was a bit annoying. And I remember, because when I was drinking water, I would always put Himalayan salt into my water for electrolytes. And I remember starting to think to myself, is this just this taste? Just something that, like, the salt is causing the water to taste all funky. But I remember cleaning out my canteen and putting in, it was just regular water, and even the regular water. And that's when I also kind of noticed that I started getting this white film on my tongue that even if I brushed my tongue, wouldn't go away. It was almost like, you lost all sense of taste because you weren't using your taste buds to eat anything. And you were just consuming water, that it's like your body turns them off. And it was really weird because, like, I just had this bland taste. And I kind of had it the rest of the fast. And I think that was the one thing that, for me, it wasn't that I was looking forward to eating. I was looking forward to getting that taste out of my mouth and maybe having some semblance of a normal taste in your mouth again. And, yeah, the harder part was the refeeding process. It was definitely, that was a lot harder than I was expecting it to be. And it was definitely a lot harder than the 21 days of not eating.
So what surprised you the most during your fast?
Probably how my body transformed, like the composition changed and how my relationship with food changed. Like I mentioned, it wasn't that I was just losing body weight, but it was like I was losing it around my midsection. And I was feeling like the fat disappearing around your internal organs, like your liver and your stomach and your kidneys. And I don't know, it was a weird feeling when it came to that. But the relationship for the food, like I said, I wasn't I was excited kind of about halfway through the fast about how I was going to change the way I was going to eat after this fast. Like I already started, my body was craving like healthy foods. I wasn't even remotely interested in sweets. And the other thing that was weird to me, they kind of noticed it towards the end of the fast, was that I didn't really have any body odor, which I guess if you think about it, makes sense. If you're not digesting food and your body's not trying to get rid of a lot of waste, you know, your body excretes waste through urine and bowel movements, but it also through sweat. When you sweat out stuff as well, that's your body getting rid of that. And so if you're not really sweating, you don't have toxins to get rid of, then it would make sense not to actually, it's just not something I thought about and I wasn't really expecting it.
Okay, so how did your body change as far as your weight or skin, maybe your sleep, your digestion?
Well, I lost 35 pounds. Digestion was non-existent whatsoever. Sleep was better, and I found that I needed less of it each night during the last, I don't know, 6 or 7 days. I found that I was going to bed and maybe needing 5 or 6 hours. I'd wake up and I'd be like fully alert in the morning. I definitely noticed that I had reduced or no inflammation and no joint pain during the fast, which again, that was something that I was kind of expecting because I went during my research, I had learned that that was something that was a benefit that you get from doing a fast.
All right. So tell me about your refeeding process and how did it feel?
Well, like I mentioned, to me, this was the harder part, harder than the fast itself. I started with chicken bone broth after 20 days of no flavor in your mouth. And you're supposed to like just sip it slowly. And it was really hard to not overconsume on like day one, especially because you all of a sudden you have this burst of flavor in your mouth and you just want as much of it as possible. And so I drank I drank the bone broth too fast because I drank a whole cup of it and I immediately felt like my stomach, because your stomach is shrunk by this time. So that one cup of bone broth like filled me up and I could feel it in my stomach at that point that I was like, wait, that's not feeling good. I'm definitely feeling really full. And of course, that was one of those things where I should have just been sipping it slowly to where maybe it took me like an hour or more to consume that cup. But in all reality, it took me like maybe 20 minutes to consume it. But then on day two, I started drinking some watermelon juice because one of the things that I saw them doing in that documentary was when they came off their fast, they were drinking like fresh squeezed juice. And this was just the juice, not any kind of fiber or anything. So watermelon was one of them. Pineapple was another. And I don't know if they mixed it or not, but I kind of started drinking the watermelon juice and this kind of had me run into the bathroom, which upon doing further research when it came to the refeeding process, any kind of food that you eat or your body just doesn't like to start refeeding will send you to the bathroom. And, you know, so you're, and that's not in a good way either. That's a bad way. That's kind of a little bit of a telltale sign that could be your body rejecting it and your body saying that, hey, this might be the stages of you going into or having refeeding syndrome. So that kind of scared me. So it had me doing a little more research. And after doing that, I found that, yeah, instead of actually consuming foods that would spike your insulin, like watermelon juice would, that you actually needed to be eating softer vegetables, like steamed vegetables, zucchini, squash, and you definitely needed to be drinking a lot more electrolytes. And it's really hard to find a good electrolyte drink without sugar or even like some of the alternative sugars into them. So the best one that I found was just pure raw coconut water. If you can find that, that's probably the best electrolytes to drink. So day three and day four, I consumed about a liter of coconut water each day. And I was eating meals every 4 hours, small meals of just basically steamed squash and zucchini. I also found that if you actually cut up fresh pineapple chunks, soft fruit, you could actually have that. And you just want to make sure, obviously, the pineapple is very ripe. Cut up in the chunks, and I would alternate the squash and the pineapple chunks along with the coconut water. And I immediately felt a big difference day 3 and day 4. And I don't know if it was just the addition of the coconut water, the electrolytes, or just eating the proper foods as well. But there was a big difference then. And I started feeling a little more confident. Day 5, I started adding boiled eggs, raw fermented sauerkraut, Greek yogurt, and fresh blueberries to my diet. And day 5 is also when I had my first proper bowel movement. And when I say proper, I mean it wasn't just like liquid or anything like it was when I was running to the bathroom after drinking the watermelon juice. And by day 7, I was able to start eating more regular foods, but I was still drinking plenty of electrolytes. And the one thing that really, this is the part that really kind of opened my eyes when I did this further research, which again, I probably should have done this before I even started the refeeding process. But when I found out that if you basically don't eat the right foods and don't kind of start your digestive system back up properly, you can get into this syndrome where it literally puts so much pressure on your body and your circulatory system where you could have heart failure, you could have heart issues, you could even have respiratory issues where it causes you to go into like a respiratory attack. And so
it could kill you, basically.
They could absolutely kill you. And that's where it was really like, okay, I got to really take this seriously. I can't joke around. I can't just be like, oh, well, I feel my body's ready to eat and start eating. I had to really, you know, start taking this seriously. And if I think that's the part that can be really scary and really stressful. So just make sure that you have a proper plan when it comes to the refeeding process. Don't take it lightly.
So would you ever do it again? And if so, I assume that that would be one thing that you would do differently.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I would do it again if I felt the need, again, to reset my health for any reason. But I don't foresee that being necessary if I continue with the healthy diet that I've kind of gained out of this. But if I ever got diagnosed with a major health issue, like a cancer or anything else, then that would absolutely be something that I would have in my toolbox that I could do.
Yeah, because they say that if you do a 21-day fast, the reason why it can cure cancer is because literally you're starving the cancer.
Well, your cells are healing themselves.
Right.
And they're getting rid of the damaged cells, which is what cancer cells are, and they're getting rid of the dead cells.
Right, and there's nothing for them to feed off of.
Correct. And it literally just, I mean, because your body stops digesting food, which takes a lot of energy from your body, and it has all that energy to actually fight off anything else. So it elevates your immune system
right
to fight off as well. But I think some of the things that I would do besides just, I would definitely prepare better and maybe even have a colonic hydrotherapy done before the fast, just to kind of clear out my colon, just to make sure that it would start off nice and clean. And I would have plenty of homemade bone broth. I made the mistake of buying the bone broth and not realizing, obviously, for one, the really good high quality stuff is really expensive, where you can just make your own and it's so much better.
And a lot less expensive.
And I would prepare, I would also have fresh coconut water on hand and ready to start the refeeding process as well.
So what advice would you give someone considering a long fast?
I would tell them to take it seriously, because if you don't, there are real consequences to your health and possibly your life. Consult your doctor before doing something like this, especially if you are not a healthy individual. And if you have any heart or breathing issues, be very cautious, as refeeding syndrome can be life-threatening if not done properly. I actually have my younger brother who's was really curious about doing this as well. Now, my younger brother is severely overweight. I want to say he's probably close to 350, if not somewhere right above that. And he has had heart issues and he also has asthma. So after doing this, he asked me about it about the results. And I said, well, look, these are the results that I had, but I just would tell you that I don't think it's for you, because obviously you've had heart issues in the past and you have asthma, which could both, you know, put extra stress on those symptoms during the refeeding process if you don't take it seriously. So I would recommend that for him, that he would need to get in a lot better shape first before even attempting something like this.
Right. And something that I think you should have done is we probably should have got a blood pressure monitor. And so you could have been monitoring your blood pressure as well. So that's something maybe to consider as well.
I did go when I went. This was during my refeeding process. So this was a few days after, I want to say it was in day three that I went to the store. And when I went to the store, they had the blood pressure monitors there. I did do it there. Now, I've never been one that had high blood pressure. I've always had pretty either low or relatively normal. And when I had my blood pressure done, it was in the normal range. So I don't know if it, I mean, again, during the fast, I didn't take it during the fast. I probably should have.
Right.
And at least I would have seen if there was any fluctuations in there. But I can just go by what my normal blood pressure is and what it was after during the refeeding process.
Yeah. And how has it changed your relationship with food and health?
Well, that's the part that I think I'm excited the most about, because it has me craving like a healthy whole foods type of diet. And I no longer eat out of boredom or emotions. And I eat for my health, not just for the taste. I mean, I still enjoy the taste, but I'm enjoying the taste of healthier foods. I mean, like I mentioned, I'm not even craving like sweets, which is, that was one of my downfalls, was I had a big sweet tooth and I'm not even craving that. I mean, you made homemade ice cream for the barbecue, the 4th of July barbecue, and I was really anxious to try it. I'm at the stage now where I can try it. And I haven't even wanted to try it.
Right. One of the weird things for me seeing you go through this was every single day you were watching YouTube videos on different recipes and keto recipes and carnivore diets and all of these different YouTube videos on food. And it was nonstop food. And I'm just thinking, how are you doing this? And it's not making you even more hungry. Because most people, when they're watching TV and they see a commercial and it's got junk food or any kind of food on it, they're like, oh yeah, maybe I'm hungry, so I'm gonna go eat. But you just kept watching those videos and it was not an issue. So that was kind of odd to me.
Yeah, I can't explain it. That was just, I mean, I know you said that, your sister said that too. It was just, I don't know, it wasn't
the excitement of being healthy kind of just took over.
Yeah, I think that's really what it was, because I was more about wanting to plan my meals and wanted to, you know, find recipes that I could make that actually were healthy and that were, I was going to be able to make. But, you know, that wasn't the only thing that I was looking at. We were also looking at, well, you know, we have a trip plan to go to Italy and Germany. And I was also looking at, you know, still foods I wanted to try there. But it was just weird because, again, when you don't have those cravings for food, and I can't explain it other than, in, you know, just the way that I can explain it, but it's something mentally, because cravings are mental. And if you don't have those cravings at all for food, it doesn't matter if you're seeing food that looks enticing to you, it doesn't make you crave that food.
Yeah, that was bizarre. Well, I think that's a wrap for today's episode. I hope you found this conversation as insightful as I did. Watching Jay go through this wasn't easy, but it was inspiring. If you've ever considered fasting or just want to know what happens to your body when you go without food for that long, hopefully this episode gave you some clarity. Don't forget, this is not medical advice. Always consult a healthcare provider if you're thinking of doing something like this. And if you've tried fasting yourself or have questions, shoot us a message. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Until next time, stay curious, stay kind, and stay intentional.